When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
What's happening, guys? How you doing?
We are well. I want to get Brown stuff out of the way with you because I want to get on to Guardians and even Cavaliers. But let me ask you this. Tell me, is this valid? Every time I think about the Browns and their offensive woes so far, my head just immediately goes to, yeah, but that offensive line is such a mess, we can't draw any real conclusions. Is that true or is it not? Because, Tom, I don't know if it's true or not.
I think it's very valid, to be honest with you, Jeff. I think the root of a lot of these problems so far have been with the offensive line, right? We've had, you know, they've been missing at least two starters for the entire, you know, first four games. Actually, Jed was back for the one game, right? You swap out your starting center for a backup. You know, you have problems with that just this past Sunday, right? We get the holding call on him, the bad snap down the stretch. I like Nick Harris a lot. I think he's a good ball player. He's a backup for a reason. I'll pivot then to Deshaun Watson and the way he's played in the first few games. I think a lot of that can be connected to the offensive line. I did think they did a better job this past Sunday in having him get rid of the ball quicker, which I think is a reflection of the inability of this team to protect the quarterback to this point. So, yeah, Jeff, I think a lot of it, you know, I think if there is a common thread through all these problems, you have to kind of start with the offensive line.
Other people want to look at coaching, and I don't know. I watch what they do in the beginning of the game, and I'm like, seems like they're coaching pretty well when it comes to that first series. But I also wonder about the coaches they lost, and I really don't ever want to talk about that because you would think, well, okay, it's coaching. Those guys don't actually go out on the field, but I don't, schematically, you know, where is this team and what are they doing? And should some of the blame be on coaching?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where to go with, you know, I'll be honest with you, Andy, you know, coaches aren't out there holding. They're not out there running the wrong pass routes.
Right.
They're not dropping passes. I think this is a good coaching staff. Now, granted, you know, losing Bill Callahan was clearly a blow. I think Andy Dickerson is a good coach. He's been here for, you know, all of four games right now. So I think maybe we should give that a little bit of time to breathe. So, yeah, it was tough losing him. I think, you know, you're also dealing with, you know, with injury issues on that line that, you know, what are coaches supposed to do about that? I mean, you only have so many bodies, right? I mean, you know what this team has endured, and I'm not making excuses for them. Don't get me wrong. But when you look at what they've dealt with in these first 4 weeks in terms of the offensive front, you know, there's been weeks, where they've gone into Saturday not knowing who their starters are going to be up front. And then, sure, you know, to Jeff's point earlier, I think that's where it all begins, right? We always talk about, you know, the foundation of teams are built on the offensive and defensive lines. And I think that's a good place to start here. And listen, I think we're all guilty of a bit of overreaction through four games. But because this was supposed to be the easy part of the schedule, right? These were supposed to be the winnable games. These were supposed to be the games in which, you know, Deshaun Watson built some confidence and they got rolling before they, you know, that they ended up now facing a Washington team that looks entirely differently on paper or in person than we thought at the beginning of the season. But we haven't even got to the AFC North games yet. So, listen, it seems to have been one thing after another. You know, they haven't gotten any breaks, but they haven't made any breaks for themselves either.
Tom Withers joining us from the Associated Press. Let's turn from football. We have a baseball team that's getting ready to go to the postseason. They get a bye in the first round, Tom. A stunning season. I've just thought all along, I can't wait to get to the playoffs. But I wonder if this team is built for the playoffs. I would think, why not? Because, you know, now you're playing five instead of having to play 161 to get there.
Absolutely, Jeff. And I think what this team has that teams haven't necessarily had in the past here in Cleveland is an absolutely locked down bullpen. Now, you don't know how that's going to translate once you get into October, but, you know, when you start to see a bullpen that's done what this team has done this year in terms of putting up near historical numbers, I mean, this is the lowest ERA that any Cleveland bullpen has had since 1954. That's a lot. It's even older than I am. That's a long time ago. So it's been tremendous. And I think, you know, given the way that the bullpen has performed this year, given the problems that this team has had in terms of starting pitching, again, let's go back to injuries. You want to talk, forget about the offensive line. Let's talk about the pitching injuries that this team has endured since the beginning of the season. And you look at the way, Jeff, that the off day set up, it wouldn't be surprising to me if you see a bullpen game in the playoffs. I mean, we saw what Terry Francona was able to do in 2016, right, when you got the weapon in Andrew Miller. Well, now, you know, not only do you have in Emmanuel Casse, the premier, the Mariano Rivera of today, and I don't use that term loosely because that's the best reliever that I've ever seen, mm-hmm. Who's had an historic year. You know, when you have arms like that in the bullpen, it really gives Stephen Vogt some weapons and some options and a way to shut down teams that, you know, we haven't seen around here.
What's the rotation look like for a three-game series?
Yeah, that's why I'm talking about the bullpen a little bit. Yeah. I think, Andy, you know, I think you've got to begin. Obviously, Tanner Bibee's going to get the ball in game one,
right?
And then I think, you know, when you talk about game two, I think Ben Lively comes to the forefront. You know, based on you know, the season that he's had, the confidence they have in him, you know, veteran, et cetera. You know, I don't know where Alex Cobb necessarily fits in, but it's not going to surprise me. I'm telling you guys right now, it's not going to surprise me if in games two or three, you see whoever that starter may be. And listen, Stephen Vogt is also going to be able to have like kind of a short leash with these guys. If they can get two or three innings maybe out of your starter, then you swing that bullpen door open and you start parading guys one after another. Now, again, we don't know how some of these kids are going to perform. You know, you got two rookies, actually three, right, in Gaddis Smith and Heron technically. That have never pitched in the postseason. So, you know, that's the intangible that none of us are going to know about until we see it and they have to experience it. But, again, some great options. You know, it starts with Bibee, and then I think anything is possible after that.
Tom Withers joining us from the Associated Press. Tom, how much does the September that Lane Thomas had calm everything down offensively?
Very much so, right? I think that's a key piece to this lineup. I think, you know, I'll throw Manzardo in there as well. It gives you options at the top of that lineup that you didn't necessarily see, right, Jeff, in August and into September when Lane Thomas was having the struggles that he's had. Guy's a good ball player. You know, I talked to some people in Washington who raved about him and talked about, you know, not only what a good fit he was in terms of the lineup, but what a, you know, a good addition to the clubhouse as well. And, you know, we've seen this before, guys, right? You know, after a big trade, a guy goes to another market and you struggle. I mean, let's take Francisco Lindor, for instance, who then ends up hitting you know, a memorable home run yesterday to put the Mets into the playoffs. You know, he had his struggles when he got to New York, and that's probably too extreme of an example. But we've seen it here as well when guys have come in, and it's taken them some time to kind of settle in. And you could see Lane Thomas, you know, stressing out there, right? You could feel like the sawdust coming out of the bottom of his bat when he was in the batter's box there for a few weeks when he was really grinding. But, you know, he gives them an option. And then listen, when you have the top of the lineup and, you know, a healthy Stephen Kwan, you know, we need to talk about him is paramount to this team doing what it wants to do. But when you have a guy in that two hole that can produce, that just means bigger things for numbers 3, 4, and 5.
What do you think, and I think the hard part here is where we never thought twice about it with Tito going into the playoffs, but we do have a rookie manager going into the playoffs. What do you think is the most important thing he needs to know going into I ask you this like you're another manager, but I think we've all seen, like from, you know, from Grover to Tito to Eric Wedge, you know, like, well, like I wonder what's the most important thing a rookie manager needs to know going into his first playoffs.
You know, I don't really worry about that too much, Andy, to be honest with you, only because this is a guy, this is a baseball lifer who's damn near experienced everything, right? He's played in the postseason. So
except managing in the postseason. No, I'm just kidding. Right. Well, yeah. I said, you know, he's experienced also, everything but this, yeah.
Yeah, but he's also, you know, he's been through, you know, just about everything you can in baseball. He's also got, and he'll be the first to talk about the coaching staff around him, right? Those guys have been through this as well. So I think, you know, I think Stephen Vogt has basically been taking these things on a day-to-day basis. I think he's grown into the job. I think he's been learning on the fly. You don't necessarily see the same mistakes twice. There have been very few times this year where I've really second-guessed him. He's been really good about using his pinch hitters in good spots. Guys have delivered in those spots for him because he's used the entire roster. I don't think, you know, there's not a guy on this team I don't think that he doesn't trust to be put into a big situation. Now, again, you're going to have a bunch of guys in this team that have never been through it, just like their manager. So until you face it, until you walk into the belly of the beast, you really don't know what you don't know.
Tom Withers is joining us from the Associated Press. Tom was at Cavs Media Day yesterday. Tom, the marching orders here seem real clear on this Cavalier season. J.B. Bickerstaff did a really nice job here. They didn't finish the way that the Cavs wanted them to finish, apparently, the front office. So you change coaches. You don't change the team. The team's basically back. Instead, you bring in a coach who's offensive-minded, and you say, Kenny, fix it, because you've got everything that J.B. had last year. Does that sum this situation up?
Very much so. Let's run it back and let's see what Kenny Atkinson can bring. And obviously, you know, his time with Caris LeVert, his time with Jared Allen clearly, plays a part here as well. So, you know, some secondary guys, if you will. But, yeah, it's about Kenny Atkinson coming in here and figuring out, in my mind, how to get the most out of the backcourt of Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, and then getting absolutely the maximum out of you. What you can out of Evan Mobley, who has been identified as, you know, the next great player. And that's at both ends of the court, Jeff. You know, I think Evan needs to grow into that leadership defensive role where he is the biggest voice out there. And listen, his skill set is, it's damn near unmatched in terms of big men defensively in this league. And you want to see maybe a little bit more production out of him from the offensive end, but that doesn't necessarily mean him, you know, averaging 24 points a game either though, Jeff, right? It may be him being, you know, more efficient and maybe in terms of them running the offense through him and him finding Donovan and Darius and doing some different things. So yeah, I think there's a little bit of pressure on Kenny Atkinson here, but you know, he seems to be the perfect guy in terms of what they needed at this time, right? This is a guy whose coaching trajectory is almost on the same plane as the Cavs and their ascension here over the last couple of years into developing under J.B. Bickerstaff, becoming a playoff team, winning a playoff round, and now hopefully taking the next step. You know, and it's, I think it's interesting too, Jeff and Andy, when you look around the league, a lot of teams are running it back, right? I mean, there were some changes and there's been some big moves, and, you know, Towns going to New York, you know, obviously I think changes the Knicks a little bit and maybe the Eastern Conference to some degree, and, you know, Paul George going to Philadelphia. But other than that, when you look around the league, most teams are running it back. So, you know, the Cleveland situation is not necessarily unique.
Yeah, I just wonder how far away are they from the Celtics? You know, because I think we were trying to gauge that during the playoffs, and then the Knicks just if the Knicks aren't number two, they might be number one after this.
Well, yeah, you know, and we've always talked about how good the Western Conference has been over the years, right? Now, look at this East now. And, you know, we just talked about, you could probably identify the top three teams as obviously Boston, and then you can go probably Philadelphia and New York, but let's not forget about an Indiana team that has showed great growth. Let's not forget about the Milwaukee Bucks, who were champions just a couple of years ago. Let's not forget about that Orlando Magic team that we saw in the playoffs last year. And then, you know, the Cavs are in the mix as well. And then, you know, you forget about a team like Miami, who, by the way, still has Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra. So it's loaded. It's going to be a grinder all year.
Tom, I agree with that. And that's why, you know, the Cavs are going to have to keep the defensive identity that they had with J.B. Bickerstaff and yet make that offense sing, because you just mentioned Orlando. They're going to be better. I think Indiana is a team to really keep an eye on. You know, Milwaukee's should be better than they were, and they're still terrific. Philly, Boston. I mean, I think the Cavs are going to have to play really well to finish in the top four. And there's a chance.
I totally agree, Jeff.
Yeah. If they don't, I mean, there are a lot of teams that are going to be fighting 4 through 10 for playoff positioning.
I think it's fascinating. And, you know, I was trying to, like, you know, thinking of bigger theme stories yesterday when I was talking to guys at Media Day. You know, we've had 6 different champions in the last 6 years in the NBA, and it seems as wide open as ever. And I think, as you just, you know, you just listed the Eastern Conference, we could do the same thing in the West, Jeff. I think there are probably a half dozen teams that you could identify as legitimate NBA title contenders. And I think it's been a long time since we could say that in this league, right? it's always been kind of top heavy, and you can identify your favorites from year to year. But yeah, this is going to be, you know, I think it's going to be, first of all, for fans, I think it's great because you get great talent in here all the time that we get to see, and hopefully we don't run into that problem that we've had in the past in Cleveland, where it seems like whenever another team comes into town, they sit out their top player. That used to drive me crazy. But yeah, I think it's exciting. I was really intrigued by what Kenny Atkinson had to say on Friday when I talked to him about coaching Victor Wembanyama and how that could correlate to maybe some things he can identify to get out of Evan Mobley. I thought that was interesting to hear that he's already, you know, he's thought about that, and he talked to Evan about that as well. So, yeah, good things. I can't believe basketball is here, but it's that time of year. This is the confluence of the three rivers, right?
Sure. All right, Tom, when we took our first sports radio class, the topic always had to be Pete Rose. Pete Rose is passing yesterday. Jeff and I really haven't had a chance to talk about it today. I'm just curious your thoughts on, you know, the player, the manager, the impact of Pete Rose on the game of baseball.
Yeah, the baseball icon, right? I mean, when you think about what he did on the field, you guys, and, you know, we can talk about the gambling issues and how that relates to him getting in the Hall of Fame one day or not, but to consider that you can average 200 hits for 20 years and still not break Pete Rose's record says a lot. And, you know, I'm one of the children of the 70s that grew up with the Big Red Machine. And there was no more potent a team that I've seen, in my years of watching baseball than that group with, you know, Bench and Morgan and Perez and Charlie Hustle and just the way he played the game. You know, you guys can remember, you know, just Pete Rose going from first to third, you know, with the head first dive. And then obviously everyone here in Cleveland remembers him barreling into Ray Fosse in the All-Star game, which, you know, some still say was a dirty play, and others just kind of sum that up as that's who Pete Rose was. So I can remember also being on the desk in my early years in journalism when, you know, Giamatti ruled that he was banned from baseball and, you know, the after effects of all of that. And, you know, he led a tough life as well. You know, I mean, Pete Rose, he played hard, he lived hard, and, you know, rest his soul.
Thank you, sir. Always appreciate your time,
Always
Tom.
Always a pleasure. You got it, gentlemen. Have a good one. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Tom.
Absolutely. Enjoy covering the playoffs. Hey.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Tom Withers, Associated Press, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We're going to talk about Pete Rose coming up in a little bit. We're also going to talk about the Cavs next. And, Andy, it's an interesting situation, I think, with the Cavaliers because they've changed head coach, coaching staff, and not much else. I mean, that's like, hey, Kenny, good luck. We think the team is here to do big things. We think the coach was the issue. So no pressure there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Good luck to you. Let's get into that coming up next on Baskin and Phelps. And Tom was at Cavs Media Day yesterday. Cavs, by the way, went to the Greenbrier for training. Oh, I'm sorry, IMG Academy for training camp.
They're going back to school?
IMG Academy, yeah. You know, first of all, before we move on and talk Cavs,
yeah,
what do you think about everybody going places for training camp? You know what that screams to me? God, do we make a lot of money in this sport?
Oh, I don't know. It's
basketball,
screams,
football, everything.
I mean, did you ever have to do a company retreat anywhere you've ever worked?
Why, thank God, no.
Oh, well,
I've worked in broadcasting, Andy. We don't spend money on such silly stuff.
That's true. But the bathrooms work, so we have that going for us.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
Except for the automatic flush stuff. It doesn't work.
But we are airing dirty laundry now, aren't we?
Those are the words of Jeff Phelps and only Jeff Phelps. And so when the meeting is held, please keep only Jeff Phelps in the room.
I'm sorry. Automatic flush that you have to flush. Nonetheless.
Again, you are alone in that meeting. Andy and I disagree with all words coming out of your mouth.
That's true. Hopefully.
We are happy that it takes 14 times to flush that thing. It's
hopefully
not a big deal.
The Cavs.
Okay, those are the words of Andy Baskin and Jeff Phelps for the meeting that will be held later on. Dan Madigan has nothing to do with any of this and is thrilled with all of our surroundings.
Dan, 242 baseball.
Can I please go home and watch baseball?
In 242.
Yes. Hasn't started yet.
You can. So the hopefully going down to the IMG Academy is a great thing for the Cavs. not like they don't spend enough time together.
What about the kids
season,
in school there? Won't that be disruptive to them? Don't those kids have to practice too?
I think it might be. Yeah, I think it might be. I think it's interesting. And not bad. I think it's interesting. And we'll see how it plays out. That the Cavaliers are basically rolling it back. As Tyvis Powell, our buddy from the Browns Radio Network, said about the Browns defense. Hey, you decided to roll it back. So, okay, the Cavs have rolled this back. I mean, even Isaac Okoro's back. All right, and Isaac was a restricted free agent. You didn't know if he was going to stick or what was going to happen there. Isaac's back. They're all back, Andy. What's changed? The coaching staff. J.B. Bickerstaff, defensive-minded coach who did a fine job here. I thought that the offense needed work. They didn't get it. Apparently, the front office and ownership felt the offense needed work because J.B. is now the coach of the Detroit Pistons. And Kenny Atkinson comes in after going to grad school with Steve Kerr at Golden State. And Kenny is an offensive-minded coach. He was a career point guard playing professionally overseas and everything else. He brings in a different offensive system. It better work. And I say that because you rolled it back. It's real clear what was happening here. What has to happen is simple. Make Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland work together beautifully on the floor. And if that happens, this team takes a step up offensively. I think it's clearly that simple. Too many times I thought one guy would handle the ball and the other guy would stand there and be a spot-up shooter. Well, that's not the idea. I mean, I think that was a really missing aspect of the team the last 2 years with Donovan and Darius. That often enough, they both weren't involved in the offense. If Kenny Atkinson can take two really dynamic guys who like to have the ball in their hands and aren't real tall and make that click, well, then mission accomplished.
Yeah. First of all, I just think coming back into the season, remember all the paranoia we had about Donovan Mitchell leaving? Where's that now? Anybody go? Oh, it left the room, right?
That's true.
So
you
now
still have
that's
the issue,
gone.
Though, of making it work.
No, I understand. But I'm looking at it just big picture, yeah. You know, what the Cavs did in the offseason and where they're going with this. Jeff, I want to see what Kenny can do as far as getting these guys together, because it didn't seem right on two different levels. Not only did it not seem like – and we spent a lot of time wondering, can you have Donovan Mitchell and can you have Darius Garland on the same team? And, you know, we kicked that around. But, you know, there's also the question of Mobley and Allen, right? And, by the way, Okoro's back too, right? So
And Strus, yeah, so, and LeVert and Niang and Merrill and
so the
Porter.
All right.
The addition is Jalen Thompson – or Tyson. Their first-round draft choice, who, by the way, might be a real nice fit at that small forward spot.
I don't know. Normally, I would be like, I can't believe they didn't make a move. They didn't get better. I can't believe they didn't do addition by subtraction.
They drafted a guy. That was it.
Yeah, so that's all I did. And, you know, the last time I felt this way? The baseball season. Guardians didn't do anything out in the offseason. And look where they are right now. So, I don't know. Maybe that's the Cleveland touch, Cleveland magic. Do it. It's not working for the Browns. They returned a lot of those guys.
Yeah, how's that going?
It's not real well. So for the Guardians, it worked. For the Browns, it didn't. And now in a year where you rarely ever have it, where three teams all made the playoffs in the same calendar year, guess what? The Cavs stay status quo with the exception of a coach. We're about to find out what the value of a coach is.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
With the Cavaliers.
Coach, yes. Different emphasis, even bigger than coach.
You mean but philosophy?
The coach brings with him a different emphasis. JB's background, to listen to JB talk, it was always about defense. And fine, he did a good job with that. And their defense was pretty good. And by playing good defense and stressing that, the Cavaliers improved drastically, I think, under JB. And mission accomplished. He did a really nice job. I thought that the team needed to do some things offensively in this offseason. Whether that included changing coaches or not was, you know, at the very least, it was bring in a guy to coordinate the offense and do a better job with it. They decided to just change things completely. So they did, and Atkinson will be here. Can he make that work, Andy? You know, two small ball handling guards is not a great recipe. It's not a typical recipe for success. Can that work? Yeah, it can. But that's the challenge I think that Kenny Atkinson faces, while also making sure that Evan Mobley develops. There's the triangle. Okay, it's Donovan, be as good as you've been. And it doesn't mean score as many points. It means be as good as you've been. Darius, be as good as you've been at times. Health had something to do with some of that.
True.
Work together and make this thing really sing while bringing Evan along. I think the team still has to overcome two small ball dominant guards in the backcourt. That's on Kenny Atkinson.
So the identity of this team is... Donovan, I'm asking you because I think this is the way it should be. The identity of this team is Donovan Mitchell-centric, all other planets floating around Donovan Mitchell.
Oh.
I don't know that we've had that.
Okay, can I – let me make an unpopular statement.
Okay.
Donovan is not LeBron.
Okay.
Donovan is not Jason Tatum. Donovan is not Luka. In other words, I think if you're building everything around Donovan Mitchell, I think you're destined to not be a successful team. And by successful, I mean, what do you want to do? You want to get it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I want to win the whole thing.
Ultimately, yeah, you want to win the whole thing. I don't think Donovan is that kind of player. I don't think he's the guy who can lead you to a championship. However, he can be the best player on a team that might be able to do that. Do you know what I mean?
No, it makes sense.
Like there are some guys that you think, yep, that's the guy who can take us to a championship. I don't think Donovan is that guy. I think he's really good. But I think it needs to be a team, and a team offensively. And that's what Kenny Atkinson has to figure out. How does he supplement a phenomenal skill set in Donovan Mitchell with guys who can help him win a championship? Because I don't think he can do it on his own. As good as he is, Andy, I don't think he's that kind of a player who can win a championship for you on his own. Like LeBron basically can, as we've seen.
Right.
I think Luka has that kind of talent. I think Giannis has that kind of talent. Mm-hmm. I don't think Donovan's that kind of guy. And a lot of it's the fact that he's a 6'2", 6'3 guard.
I don't know. You walk into the season, you say to yourself, can the Cavs be better than the Bucks? Can the Cavs be better than the Sixers?
Are the Cavs going to be able to be better than the
Knicks? Not after that trade, especially.
Celtics.
And, of course, better than the Celtics.
That puts four teams that, at least on paper,
At
least. Orlando's going to get
fits.
Yep, there you go.
Indiana is still there. Miami drives me crazy. The only thing I feel better about now is that Toronto, I now feel like they're out of it.
Thanks to Jakob Poeltl.
Thank you. Thank you, Jakob. You've at least put me in the play-in tournament because you don't seem to think Toronto cares about basketball. So.
Goodness.
It has to be like a long-term project.
Get your season tickets today.
Yeah, Jakob Poeltl didn't get the memo.
Are we sure that wasn't Dana Carvey?
Get your season tickets today.
Raptors basketball coming at you.
We're not pumping you up.
Setting you up for expectations below the bar.
If you have any
Scotty Barnes in development.
If you have any Cavs thoughts, give us a yell. 216-474-0092. I think Kenny Atkinson has a big job ahead of him. But I don't think it's an impossible job. It's Baskin and Phelps here on the That's fabulous.
My Brewer t-shirt was dirty.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, you did wear that last night. No, you were in your Padres.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He has the finest collection of baseball t-shirts of all time.
Do you have any defunct teams?
No, that's next on the list when these t-shirts implode.
I have an Expo shirt that I wear every once in a while.
That's cool.
We were leaving Montreal, and I had a little bit of Canadian money left, and I was like, I'm going to spend this, and I found like the one t-shirt that I had enough Canadian money left to go buy.
That's perfect. My buddy's got an Expos hat, and I'm always jealous. It's such a great logo.
It is a fantastic logo.
I still have my Seattle Pilots pennant from back in the day.
Oh, that's real cool,
Did you get Mike Keegan to sign it for you?
No,
you
I did not.
That was another good uniform,
too. Did not. We were chatting Cavaliers, and real clear, hey, Kenny, congratulations, you have the job. Here's the same team JB had last year with a rookie small forward who might not, you know, start. Fix it. That's it. Make it work offensively.
That's it.
Is that okay? Bill's in Parma. Hello, Bill.
Hey, guys. You know, as they say, when you buy a house or property, it's location, location, location.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this has to do Mobley, Mobley, Mobley. It drives me nuts that, and I love you guys, but you guys always are talking guard, 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 guard. And it, you just got through saying that he's not, neither one of these guys are 6'3". And in the other guys that you were talking about are all 6'7 or 6'10. And you still keep talking about it. The reason we did not get
Bill,
anywhere last
Bill,
year.
Bill, let me cut you off. You please. And I thank you for listening to our show a lot.
Yeah.
What have I said about Evan Mobley?
Oh, I know.
This team becomes its absolute best when he's the best player on this team.
I know.
But mission number one for Kenny Atkinson is to make the two guards work. Why? Because that's what the general manager has decided is the way that this team should be built. So that's what Kobe Altman has tasked Kenny Atkinson with.
Well, what I heard you guys say is, how are these guys going to be able to get along? I don't care how they get along. The problem is the focus has...
Oh.
Bill, your phone's messing up.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the line to Kansas City's not working.
There you go. You better?
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they have at least 20 points.
Got you.
Bill, your phone's messing up.
Thanks,
buddy. Sorry about
not
that.
You.
Give a call back if you can.
Time for a new battery.
Larry's in Cleveland. Hi, Larry.
What's up, Larry?
Hey, thank you for your show, man. I'd like to say, man, Cavaliers got a lot of depth. They could go a long way. And Devon Mitchell is a great leader for us because he brings he brings the game.
Donovan.
He needs a kind of compatible player. McGarland, he disappeared on big games. He just want to score 51. We still lose. That's not winning. That's man, most of all too. Man, he need a guard brings other players in. He don't do that. I'll be throwing alley oops to the forward. You know, just to bring momentum to him. So for deep, you know, so the offense can have fire, man, and that bench can come through because. There's a lot of work, man. I hope that coach, you know, man, we wouldn't even go to playoffs and further. We've been there, but we can still make it. I would have kept the coach last year. Why would coach say some mess that, well, we still, you know, on we're not the playoff team. We are. We are. We can go further as long as we got to add on. And the GM got to go ahead and spend some money, man.
They've spent money, Larry. They've spent money like crazy. And they blamed the coach from last year for not taking them as far as they want to go. Now, they did it nicely. They put out a nice press release when JB was let go and thanked him and everything else.
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
And he was scooped up pretty quickly by the Detroit Pistons when they had an opening. But they clearly decided, and I can't disagree, that they needed a better approach on offense. Could JB have given them that better approach? Maybe. Had they hired an offensive-minded assistant coach to kind of run the offense, you know, go football, offensive coordinator, but they decided to make a change. And that's okay. That's the way that game works. And hopefully Kenny Atkinson can keep the defensive philosophy that was in place and the good defensive play that JB made sure they played. And hopefully that, you know, that stays while making the offense work better. And that includes the two smaller guards. It includes Evan Mobley, and it maybe includes somebody at small forward. Although, who is that guy going to be? Pete Rose passed away yesterday, Andy.
Yep.
And when I saw that happen last night, I you know came across the computer while I'm watching games and fantasy and everything else, and I just thought, wow, that's a shame. And his legacy in baseball will always be tarnished, and I hate that. And he did that to himself by betting on baseball when, and you're not allowed to do it now, but right. betting on baseball, and then lied about it, then admitted that he did it, and was always kind of a cast off from the game after, you know, after all that happened. And that was a shame because he right. shouldn't have been.
Right.
He was not a warm and fuzzy guy, and that's okay. He didn't have to be. But, man, he could flat out play. And, you know, you're looking for five tool guys. I don't know that Pete had one tool. Did Pete have a tool? He could hit. Okay, he is a fielder. Eh. Power. Eh. Speed. Eh. Pete was a baseball player. Mm-hmm. And he could play baseball. And so often that gets overlooked, I think, in evaluating young talent today. That guy could just play ball. And it was a shame the way that his legacy ended up going.
This has always been the original sports topic on Sports Talk Radio. Look, Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame as a player. I don't think there's any question about it. We could probably find 25, 30 players that are in the Hall of Fame that don't belong in there before him. It's that easy as a player.
There's no question, you're correct.
You know, it's just, you know, you're talking about the all-time leader in hits, yep. at-bats, games played, singles, three World Series, 17-time All-Star. Like, there's no question he should be in the Hall of Fame as a player. And he did the one thing in sports that I think defines all athletes that aren't exactly gifted, all athletes that aren't born with the ability to do that. Pete Rose hustled his you-know-what off. And it takes zero talent to hustle. And that guy's motor was unbelievable. And I'll always respect that. I look for that in players. I when I was a kid, my dad used to say, watch this guy play. He's not the greatest player at all, but he never stops. He hustles. And I know we talk about that his nickname was Charlie Hustle, but he truly defined the word hustle. He's the kind of player that you want kids to be. To always want to play hard, and just play the game the right way. And maybe he didn't do that as a manager by placing those bets. And I have a lot of trouble with Major League Baseball because even when Pete was going through all this stuff, they never have a problem taking money from lotteries. They don't have money, or they don't have problems taking money from casinos that have sports books in them. That Major League Baseball has no problem doing that. And they want to talk about gambling.
Didn't during times before gambling became legal.
No problem at all. I would go around. The most aggravating thing that ever happened to me, I think, while I was lucky enough, and this is not a ding moment, was there was a moment where I was in Cincinnati, and I think I've told the story before. I was talking to the truck. I was trying to get the highlights that we were doing for the post-game show, and I was in the dugout, okay? But I wasn't in the regular part of the dugout. I was in the photographer's pit. And I stood there, and I was on my cell phone, and they were telling me the plays that were coming up. And I had a police officer come up to me, and he go, "Hey," and I didn't know who he was talking to. And he goes, "Get off the phone." And I still didn't know who he was talking. He goes, "If you don't get off the phone, you're going to jail." And I was like, "What?" And I turned around, I realized he was talking to me. I go, "I'm working. What? And he goes, "You're not allowed to be on the phone in the dugout." And I'm like, "What? Why?" He goes, "You know the Pete Rose rule." We were in Cincinnati while this was going on. And I said to Doug Johnson, who's our director, I go, "I have a police officer that wants to arrest me for getting highlights. Let me get off the phone." And I got off the phone. He walked away. I was startled. And the officer was so rude. It was unbelievable. And all I could do is I sat there and I got ready to do the show was stare at the outfield wall at the casino that was on the nearby river that was sitting out there on the wall and think to myself, man, this game is full of hypocrites. The owners don't care. They take money from the lottery. They take money from casinos, and they're just as bad. If they want to be that way about Pete. Now, if Pete bet against the Reds, man, we don't know, right, Jeff? We don't know if Pete bet against the Reds. And I know I've had this argument a lot of times with a lot of people, but as a player, Pete Rose deserved to be in the Hall of Fame, deserves to this moment.
It's no question.
And it's a shame that he didn't get to see it in his lifetime.
Did he bring that on himself? Not just not just with the betting, but the way he handled things after that. Do you think there's any way that he could have soothed things over with Major League Baseball? And because it didn't happen. Like Hall of Fame weekends, Pete would be up in Cooperstown signing autographs.
Trying to make money because, as we were saying before, we were talking off mic that, you know, when you're banned from baseball, you're not getting pension money. You're not getting any of that stuff. I mean, he made the game great when he played. That Big Red Machine was something special, man. Something unbelievably special. Especially if you were sitting up here in Northern Ohio and your team wasn't very good and you're like, hey, those guys are in Ohio. We never play them. And look how good they are in Cincinnati. Wow. And I would just watch them from a distance and go, man, I wish we were the Big Red Machine.
He was one heck of a baseball player. There's no question about that. And maybe the greatest, least physically gifted player of all time in Major League Baseball, because the guy was just a regular guy and hustled his way to one of the greatest careers in Major League Baseball history.
He might be one of the best lessons in all of sports when you're talking to a kid. Yeah. It takes zero talent to hustle. Zero.
And it can pay off in a big way.
Yes.
And it did for Pete Rose baseball-wise. Zach Meisel covers the Guardians for The Athletic. Zach, next, right here on Baskin and Phelps.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.